Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
All right, took it on the chin here. Game one of a nine-game road trip. Doesn't feel great. Get back to the corner at the end of the round and suit back up for battle for round two tomorrow against Justin Verlander. Brewers fall 5-4 tonight to the Astros against two teams with playoff aspirations, of course, featured down deep in the heart of Texas. I'm Dominic Cotroneo, 855-616-1620 is the phone number if you want to text in, if you want to call in and hang out with us here this evening with Jerry Augustine once again tonight. Augie, we're going to talk about Freddie, we're going to talk about the offense, we're going to talk about what the Astros did well, but I think we have to start with what Joey Ortiz is doing right now with the bat. He was obviously retired in the ninth inning, proving he is indeed human, but at one point, he had reached base in eight consecutive plate appearances. Tonight, he goes 3-for-4 with a three-run homer, a double, and a single, just a triple shy, as they say. But Joey Ortiz has really been a different player for the last three or so weeks, ever since that walk-off against the Yankees. What have you seen from Joey?
Yeah, just patience at the plate. You know, these are young players are getting opportunities to do something very special and play in the big leagues. And, you know, Ortiz, when you see where he came from in that trade over with Baltimore, actually played double A last year. But you look at his patience at the plate. You see what he's done, how he goes and he approaches. And it looks like when he started the season, he was swinging the bat pretty good. He had a couple home runs. And then got a little bit of funk where he was being overly aggressive. And I think you get time off a little bit. You get some time to watch the games and he starts bouncing back, but he is a special player. There's no question. You look at what he can do. He can play anywhere in the infield. He's an excellent third baseman, a very good shortstop. And I'll tell you one thing, his patience at the plate and the willingness to go deep in the counts. I think that's the one thing I really like about the way he's been approaching the at-bats. He's not afraid to go deep in the count. He's not afraid to hit with two strikes because he's going to look for that mistake. He's going to swing the bat and hit the ball well. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've seen on him, patience at the plate. The willingness to go deep in the count and get his pitch.
And looking at the numbers right now, including tonight's game and what Ortiz has been doing at the plate, he's hitting .347. This is over his last 59 plate appearances now. He's got an on-base of .441. So he's on base, you know, out of almost half the time when you look at it, .441. An .816 slugging from a guy that I don't think anybody expected this much slugging out of him. He's got 12 extra base hits now over that stretch. And furthermore, in this stretch, talking about the patience, 8 walks and only 11 strikeouts. So that's part of the reason why he's been so successful is when he's putting bat to ball, he's doing damage with it as well. And I did a deep dive on some of the bat tracking stuff, and Ortiz is right up with there with the guys like Adames and the guys like Contreras when it comes to the fastest bat speeds on the Brewers team. And look, anytime you can measure something and learn something about the player, it's a good thing. And learning how Ortiz generates his power and why he's been so successful is a helpful explainer of why he was able to go to the opposite field. I mean, he has been using all fields as of late, too. I've been so impressed with his approach as of late. And even though he's batting in the eighth spot in the order today, it's not because of they want to bury him and hide him. It's because they see him as a chance to restart the lineup and maybe he moves up a little bit tomorrow. Granted, tough assignment with Justin Verlander, but if Joey Ortiz is going to stay on this hot run, and this is a conversation I had with a writer recently, it's like, is Joey Ortiz on pace to be an all-star? Because the numbers, quite frankly, are starting to support it.
There's no question. I tell you, when you talk about it, he played so good at third base. He's got that positive plus arm that he can play. He makes great plays, and what he does in the field, we already know that he's an excellent fielder. But the thing that's impressive about him, Dom, and we talked about patience at the plate for a young player, being willing to go deep in the counts and get your pitch. Not only that, he fights off some pretty good pitches. He'll get pitches that are very, very good pitches, and to have total plate coverage for a young hitter who's been in the big leagues for that long, because they'll figure something out on you. You know, sooner or later, they're going to go to your weak spot. But he's been so good at fighting off the pitches that he has problems with and getting to a pitch that he can put in play, and it doesn't make any difference where he puts it in play. he's going to hit the ball to all fields, and he's showing a sign of power. Like tonight, he had the big home run in the fourth inning. He got a little fastball on a 1-1 pitch, and that bump over the plate was able to drive it out of the ballpark. But I just like the way he's been patient at the plate, and what he does, he fights off tough pitches when he gets in the count. He's going to make you work. He's going to take the ball deep in the count. It's going to be a good pitch to hit, and when he gets it, he puts the ball in play.
And Ortiz, just to finish the thought on the All-Star, it's probably going to go to Alec Bohm at this point in the season, but Ortiz is right there with a lot of his numbers. And also, Bohm has had about 70 more plate appearances than Ortiz has, because remember, Ortiz was in a mini platoon at the start of the year, but now he's wrestled everyday third base duties away. Before we get to Freddie Peralta in the next segment, I do also want to touch on what Jake Bowers has been doing, because obviously the rest of this topic, the rest of the show is going to be a lot about pitching and what's going wrong with Freddie right now. Jake Bowers, a no-doubt blast in the second. He drew a walk in the fourth. He flied out to center in the sixth and then got scraped by a pitch in the eighth. So he was on base three out of four plate appearances, scoring twice, and, of course, the big home run. He's been a new man since switching to this toe tap and finding some confidence with it. And the Brewers, once again, deserve some flowers here for trusting this guy to go through his lumps. And now they really need him, of course, with Rhys Hoskins being on the IL.
Yeah, and when you talked about what he's been doing at the plate, he's another guy who's really been patient. You know, he's been around for a while and wanted to get an opportunity, and Bruce got him over here, and he said what he wanted to do is get an opportunity, and when he gets an opportunity, he's going to do something special. He's done that. Lately, he's been swinging the bat so well. He's another guy that you see now as he gets to the plate, being more patient, making the ball come in. But I think one thing that you have to understand about a guy like Ortiz and a guy like Jake Bowers who are trying to do something special is they've got to have plate coverage. They've got to fight off the pitches that they understand how it's going to come in. It's going to be a tough pitch. They got to be willing to take a pitch that's close early in the count, and we'll see where it is. Give them some opportunity to see what they're going to do later in the count. But I tell you, when you talk about these young Brewer players, the younger players, as you see them go along, their patience, looking for pitches to hit. But I think the big thing is the willingness to hit the ball off fields and having plate coverage. That is so hard to do when you're a young ball player, because you know you're going to be pitched in and out and up and in, and those type of things, is to stay up on those tight pitches. And these two guys have really done a good job.
855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us, we're going to talk about Freddie coming up next. But also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's all going to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. Each team hit two homers, but one more run on the board for the Astros. They win 5-4 tonight. Freddie Peralta saddled with the loss. We'll break down his start coming up next on Brewers Extra Innings.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Brewers fall 5-4 to the Astros. I'm Dominic Catronio with Jerry Augustine. To the text line, this one from Doug. Very bad time to be playing the Astros. Yeah, they just won their sixth in a row. The A's might have woke them up. Doug says, hopefully they can sneak out one win, and Ortiz is making the Burns trade look better and better. Look, we're a month and a half into this. We're not going to know a winner or a loser anytime soon. And quite frankly, I'm over the winner and loser discourse on trades, on every single thing has to be a winner and a loser. It doesn't always work like that, but let that one play out. Let's talk about Freddie now, Augie, because there were moments of brilliance, and once again, moments of not so brilliant from Freddie Peralta. I thought today, and let's start with the context too here, the Astros are the hardest team to strike out in baseball. They strike out less than anybody. This has been their MO for the last 10 years or so, since this crop's first started to arriving. The Altuves, the Bregmans, now Correa has gone, but now you've got Tucker and Alvarez even had the day off today. They are a hard team to strike out. And obviously, Freddie is the type of guy that thrives on strikeouts. And for me, I'm going to just start in the second inning here. The big double play that wasn't turned on John Singleton should not impact Freddie, because he got Myers a swing and miss on the very next pitch. So he's already ahead of the count. But then he fell behind 3-1 to Myers, who then hooked the ball to left field for a home run into the Crawford boxes. That made it 2-1 at the time. That just gave me a sense right off the bat that as soon as things were going a little rough, Freddie tensed up. Something was off today about Freddie, and obviously the Jeremy Peña homer in the fifth is a really encapsulating that. Was there anything that jumped out to you about Freddie's performance specifically with the long ball today?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I see with Freddie Peralta, and he's always known as fastball Freddie. Freddie is always going to be fastball Freddie. He's got three types of fastballs he throws. He can throw that four-seamer up in the zone that can carry and get in good spots. He's got the sinking fastball with a little bit of tail on it. But when Freddie's got his fastball that he can locate the different sides of the plate, up and down, I think that's when he's most effective. And it seems like that when he struggles with consistency with that fastball, his breaking ball becomes inconsistent. And if you look at tonight, what did he get hurt on? He got hurt on deep in the counts. The Meyer pitch was a 3-1 slider that was up on the inner half of the plate. He was able to hook it out of the ballpark. And the one to Peña was a 3-2 slider that got in the middle plate. Peña put a good swing on it. He's a good young player, and he hit the ball out of the ballpark to make the game 5-4. But I think with Freddie, it's about what it just seems when he's got good location with his fastball, everything else kind of falls into place. And I think tonight he just wasn't as sharp with his fastball like he wanted to be. And then he got in trouble, so he got deep in the counts. He wanted to do that breaking ball, and he just got the breaking ball in bad parts of the plate. And the Astros took advantage of all the runs scored. We're on a home run. We're on a 2-run homer and a 3-run homer. It was the difference in the ballgame. So I think it's the fastball. I think locating his fastball, I think makes his all his off-speed, his slider, his cutter, whatever, and his changeup that much better. And it all boils down to can fastball Freddie locate that good fastball.
Take me into the mindset of a pitcher as I'm going to set the scene as what Freddie was facing ahead of the fifth inning. The Brewers have the lead at this point. It is 4-2 Brewers heading to the bottom of the fifth inning. 8, 9, and 1 are due up. This is that dreaded third time through the order lurking. And the top third of the order for the Astros is legit. It's Altuve, Peña, Tucker, Bregman, and Alvarez had the day off today. So you didn't even see Yordan, but 8, 9, and 1 due up with a 2-run lead. Take me into the pitcher's mind there thinking, all right, you know, I got to find a way to make sure that Altuve comes up with nobody on and two outs. And obviously he failed that mission right off the bat with Victor Caratini singling to start off the inning. But what is that game plan? What is that thought process getting ready to attack a lineup a third time through?
Outs late in the lineup. You got to get outs. And I think that when Freddie went out for that, he had that 4-2 lead, and I think he came off an inning before that where he had the 1-2-3 inning. There weren't a lot of 1-2-3 innings to play. There weren't that many clean innings in the game. So the opponents, everybody had runners on base, and I think with Freddie today, just getting runners on base, he got a little bit of trouble. And like you said, you get into the top of this lineup, especially the way they've been swinging the bat the last 6 or 7 ball games, last 10 ball games, actually, when you see the way the Astros have been playing. You get Altuve, Peña, Tucker, Alvarez, and Bregman up in the beginning of that play. You got to stay away with those guys with runners on base because they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. That's a great hitter's ballpark in Houston, and that's what caused the problem. You got to play Altuve, change things around, and then Peña got a good pitch to hit on that 3-2 breaking ball up his zone and hit the ball out of the ballpark.
And when we go to that Jeremy Peña at bat, he had seen the slider plenty on the night. Remember, he had got... in fact, he had tried to use the slider as the put-away pitch in each of his previous 2 plate appearances. He got Peña to fly out to center in the first. He struck him out on a slider in the third. And then it just seemed like to me, one too many sliders and it caught too much of the plate. It still broke like Freddie knew it. But this is what we're talking about, right? This is that new age of baseball, Augie, that when a guy has seen you enough, and the hitters are so good these days, that it doesn't matter how hard you throw, how much break you have. If they've seen it, they can make the adjustment. And Jeremy Peña, quite frankly, has been back to his rookie of the year stealth this season. He's got a .326 batting average, an .820+ OPS. It was his fifth homer of the year, and he got a slider that was caught enough of the plate. Good hitters make adjustments, and I just didn't see the adjustment from Freddie as he saw that Peña was going to be on that pitch.
Yeah, you know, that when you look at what he did, I think he started off he was 1-1, and then he was 1-1, and then he threw a changeup. He got 2-2, and he threw that changeup, and that changeup was down, just missed the plate, and then he came back with a slider. I like coming back with a slider, but it's when you throw that changeup, you got to make sure that you really concentrate, that you get that slider in a good strike zone in a good spot. And I just think that time after throwing that changeup, might have overthrown that slider a little bit, got it spinning in the middle of the plate, and I'll tell you, you got to give credit right there to Pena, because he hit a pitch on the middle of the plate, hit it out of the ballpark. But I thought it was set up. I thought the right idea was to throw that 2-2 changeup down his zone, might get him pitching in the zone. But Pena laid off that pitch, and I thought that was a good at-bat from him. And then he got the slider up in his zone. He was able to put a good swing on it.
And the Brewers, last thing on Freddie here, the Brewers had him pitch on 5 days rest. So we got the extra day because of the off day. He had last pitched on Saturday against the Cardinals. Now, the Brewers would likely have him pitch on Wednesday against the Marlins and be back on traditional 4 days rest for a starting pitcher. And we have seen him struggle in those scenarios where he has the traditional days of rest. The Brewers have always been very careful with him. So my question to you is, do you give him that Wednesday start and say, dude, we need you to be that every fifth day guy, or do you have him wait till after the off day and go on Friday against the Red Sox?
That's going to be an interesting decision to see what it means. You know, you're looking through 97 pitches. I think last time out, he was in the 90s also. I think the big thing with Freddie is you have between starts. I think any pitcher that's going through a situation where he makes a couple bad pitches here, he's not locating his fastball there, you have a good bullpen session. Usually the second or third day after you pitch, you have a bullpen session. You really concentrate on saying, hey, here's where I have to improve on. Where was I deficient last time? Was I locating my fastball in good spots? I got my slider. Was I finishing it properly? I think you do a good bullpen work. How they do it, it'll be up to Murph and see if he wants to delay it a little bit. But I would think that he'd probably bring him back on his regular rotation, get him going on a regular basis, a regular routine of going through it. I think that helps Freddie. And I think a good bullpen session in between where he works on his pitches, he works on where he was deficient, and tonight didn't feel like he was locating his fastball as well as he should have, and that caused a little bit of a problem with a couple of breaking balls. I think he can work himself out of it, and I think if they go with their regular routine, I think he'd be good to start against the Marlins.
And the last reason I bring that up, too, is because if he goes on Wednesday against the Marlins, that means he could be on that fifth-day schedule in line for the Cubs in the opener of that series on Monday. If not, he would just go to Tuesday or Wednesday. He's going to pitch against the Cubs. We know that. It's just a matter of which game he's going to pitch and how they line up their rotation while D.L. Hall makes his way back. All right, we got one more segment with Augie. Got a few thoughts about the bullpen and some other lineup thoughts for the Brewers right now. 855-616-1620. One reminder that Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With spring in the air, it means it's time for your annual AC tune-up. Insider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has you covered. You can save $25 on an AC preventative maintenance routine that goes through the end of the month. You can schedule your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. Take a breather. Come back. Brewers fall 5-4 to the Astros on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. As we said, the Astros are playing really well right now against six in a row. Hader is now 3-for-3 in perfect innings in his career as an opponent to the Brewers. Remember, he faced them twice last year as a Padre. And tonight also was a little milestone for Hader, Augie, is the fact that he has now recorded the save against all 30 teams. That's a cool little feather in the cap, right, even for the old friend Josh Hader?
I was a big fan. I remember when Josh first came to the big leagues, I was able to do the first major league interview with him when he showed up in Arizona on a Sunday and got to talk to him. I became good friends since then. I've always liked the way he goes about his job. He's a gamer. He's a great guy. He's a good team player, and To get a save against every team in the major league, that's pretty special. And I tell you, he threw the ball well tonight. Just needed 12 pitches to get the save for the Astros tonight against the Brewers.
Looking up and down this box score here for the Brewers, Willie Adames is in a little bit of a funk right now. Willie going 1-for-4, though, with a single. He also had a stolen base tonight. He did not strike out tonight. Just looking at his splits lately, looking at what he's been doing by month, and here in May, he's down to a .213 batting average with only a .250 slugging, as what tends to happen with Willie is he stops walking, and he's only got 3 walks this month, whereas he had 15 in April. That's something I would like to see him do, tap into the patience. Also, speaking of funks right now, Yelich has hit a little bit of a speed bump, which we expected maybe closer to coming off of the injured list. I'm not really worried in the slightest, but you know, he went 0 for today. He had 4 strikeouts on Tuesday against the Pirates. He did have a pair of hits and a double yesterday, but I'm not worried about Yelly. I just want to see what he can do with more consistent playing time as they make sure that his back is okay. So this is technically, you know, 3 days between, you know, getting both, or 2 days between getting the off day and the scheduled off day from Wednesday and Thursday. I'm not worried about Yelly, but I'm sure that this is going to be just a little bit of a bump because it seems like he's not seeing the baseball well right now.
It just isn't. When he first came off, he looked like he was really patient at the plate, hitting the ball to all fields, getting the fastball up and away, and really being able to handle that fastball up and in. I thought Bum made some really good pitches on him tonight. He was 0 for 4, but I thought he made some really good pitches, and I looked at the Brown before he was coming in the game. He hadn't gotten a win. He's got about a 7 ERA. He was a little bit struggling a little bit. But I thought he made some really good pitches when he had to and kept the Brewers in sync. He got runners on base, and he did give up the 4 runs. But I thought when against Contreras and Adames and Yelly, he really made some good, strong pitches. That was the key tonight. Keep those guys off the base. Stay out of trouble with those 3 guys, and you're going to be okay. And that's exactly what happened.
Also, Contreras extended his on-base streak to 24 games. His hitting streak was snapped at 9 games, going 0 for 3 with a walk. Also, the bullpen, going to give them some flowers. They had to deal with some traffic, but they kept the Brewers in this game. Koenig, Piguero, Milner, they all did their jobs, and each day leads to the next, as we know in baseball. And the fact that the Astros had to use Abreu and Hader tonight impacts what they will be doing the rest of the series. Obviously, Verlander's going tomorrow, but getting into those guys is huge, and you still have Piamps available, you still have McGill available, you still have Hudson available. So the Brewers' bullpen is certainly still in very good shape.
Yeah, I thought they all 3 of them threw the ball. I thought Koenig came in and got the double play ball. Milner worked himself out of it. I thought Figueroa was really good tonight. I saw that 98-mile-an-hour fastball he's throwing. He really threw the ball pretty well, had a strikeout in his inning work. You know, this Brewer bullpen, Murph is really good at using the bullpens, and this bullpen is only going to get stronger and stronger. And I see when you see games like tonight, when you have an opportunity to win, you hold them intact, and hopefully the offense will come true. Tonight, give credit to the Astros. They managed to complement what the Brewers bullpen did, so along with Josh Hader getting a save. But bullpen threw the ball very well tonight, and they've been very consistent all year.
We have all seen plenty of Justin Verlander over the years. He's going up against Bryce Wilson tomorrow, and if I'm Bryce Wilson, he really needs some good news fast, given his last couple of starts, and maybe going toe-to-toe with the future Hall of Famer will get him back on track. Bryce, over his last 2 starts, has walked 8. He's also hit a batter. He somehow only allowed 2 runs in his 4 innings of work, his last start against the Cardinals, but he clearly was not right in that game. Need to get him to right the ship ASAP. Maybe you just lock it in a little bit more when you're facing JV on the other side.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's exciting. Anytime you go up with a future Hall of Famer, it's going to be exciting. And Bryce has really been throwing the ball well. The biggest thing with him is he's been getting deep in the count and walks. Anytime you get a starter, and I remember when he was a starter in Pittsburgh, he'd go through 3 or 4 innings and he'd run into a little bit of a wall a little bit. And when he goes out and commands his strikes and gets that breaking ball over consistently and that cutter, now that he's got that good cutter, he feels confident. He's got a pitch ahead. This is a lineup that if you get behind in this lineup, like we already talked about, this is a good offensive lineup, and to get Alvarez back tomorrow, I'll tell you what, they can give you a lot of trouble. So Bryce has to throw strikes, get ahead. The hitter's really important. And with Verlander, he depends on that breaking ball. When he gets that breaking ball over, he's pretty darn good. So yeah. A Hall of Famer. I tell you, anytime you get that opportunity, Dom, it's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, amen. And maybe Bryce, it can work out for him since he's not a guy that relies on strikeouts, of course, facing the team that does not strike out all that much. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. 1620. Jerry Augustine joining us here tonight. We won't talk to you tomorrow, but all the best, and we'll see you soon here, Augie, all right?
All right. Great game to watch tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Anytime you can watch Verlander pitch against your team, you do have a chance, but you got to score runs early. Otherwise, he gets on the roll. He's tough to beat, but it'll be a great game to watch.
It will be fun. Jerry Augustine on WTMJ. Take a breather, and we'll talk a little bit about the lineup decisions and some things that caught my eye for the crew. That's after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, it's a loss. Let's break it down a little bit deeper here. Sal Frelick sliding down in the order to the 7th spot. I really like that because with Terang having two hands on the wheel at the leadoff spot, which I've been loving him batting leadoff, and he got another pair of hits, and I know he struck out twice as well, but it's part of the peril of being the first guy to see Hunter Brown. I'd love seeing one two-strike hits, but both hits to the opposite field for Bryce. But I like Sal in the 7th spot. He's always historically been a better hitter when he's lower in the order. And today, the moment really came, though, with the two-out rally appeared out of thin air. Four pitches into the 8th inning against Brian Abreu, there were two outs and nobody on base. And then with two strikes, Jake Bowers gets scraped by a pitch for a hit by a pitch. Then he walked Gary Sanchez on four pitches, kind of pitching around him to face Sal Frelick. And he fell behind Sal 3-1, and he was still patient on the 3-1 slider. It's not a pitch you're going to want to do a lot of damage with, but then he got another slider and froze Sal. He's been striking out looking a lot lately, and this is something I do want to talk to Sal about one day, maybe once we learn about his approach a little bit more and once he gets an understanding of how pitchers are really attacking him, because it's something that is certainly worth monitoring as Garrett Mitchell works his way back. What is the outfield picture going to look like with Churio, Mitchell, Yelich, and Frelick all around? We know Perkins is probably going to be the odd man out here, be optioned to AAA Nashville. And then Joey Weimer's still on the injured list, and he is set to return soon and probably be activated off the IL and sent back down to AAA to get more regular at-bats. But these are things that I think about when it comes to Sal trying to get some more bats a ball. And he flew out to right, got jammed on a ball, and he also grounded out to first. Ended an inning in three of his four plate appearances today. So want to monitor that for Sal. Also want to monitor the fact that Churio got pinch hit for in the 7th inning. And a couple tweets came in on that one. Why was Churio pinch hit for with Blake Perkins? Don't love the at-bat with Perkins over Churio. Can you explain? So the thought here is Churio's 0-for-2, and he fell behind 0-2 in both of his at-bats. He's facing Rafael Montero. I feel the Brewers were already planning on replacing him for defensive replacement in the bottom of the 7th inning, and then you come to the argument of, all right, well, you got the leadoff man aboard, Churio coming up, having trouble facing a guy who has a great changeup, who's going to try to get you to get a ground ball. Obviously, Perkins also did hit a ground ball. I see it as a chance to maybe try to exploit something, and Rafael Montero's splits certainly suggest that a little bit, that maybe, hey, if you got a chance, go to the lefty, given Perkins is a switch hitter coming into the game. Lefties were hitting 60 points better than righties against Montero, including all three of the home runs that he has allowed this season. Granted, Perkins is not exactly a home run hitter, but my thought is the Brewers have been defensively replacing Churio. And if he wants to stay in games the entire game, improve his defense enough to be trusted to stay in the game for all 9 innings. That's how I see it right now, because they're already trying to find ways to get him out of the game when it comes to his defense and trying to keep him focused in the outfield. This is something that Pat Murphy talked about all spring training long. He's going to learn. He's 20 years old. And if he wants to get gold someday on that glove, he's looking around at some teammate, like Yelich has got some gold on that glove. And maybe you'll see Bryce Terang get some gold on that glove too. Churio's going to have to play better defense if he wants to play all 9 innings of a game. So that's my thought with that when it comes to Perkins coming in to hit for him. Because Perkins was going to be a defensive replacement anyway. They move Frelick to right, Perkins into center, and that's how it all works out. That's just my thoughts when it comes to the lineup. We do not have Pat Murphy audio today, so that's kind of my segment to talk about what's going on with with the decisions and that sort of thing. I do want to take a look around the league coming up next, get some scores, get some thoughts as things are starting to shrink up in a really, really, really impactful performance down on the north side as the Pirates had a big game from you-know-who. That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
This text from the 262 area code. Welcome back. Thank goodness for Gasser. Peralta is struggling right now. I agree. You need to get some length out of Freddie ASAP. And with the off days coming up over these next couple of weeks, that certainly makes it a little bit easier. You had the off day yesterday. You'll have an off day next Thursday as well. Then you have another off day in back-to-back Thursdays on the 6th and the 13th of June. So there aren't going to be very many long stretches coming up here for the Brewers without off days, right? They'll have a stretch there in the middle with 10 days, or rather 13 days in a row. Then they're back to a weekly off day. Then another 13 in a row. Then a weekly off day. And then they close out the first half with 13 in a row, 7 in a row, all-star break. So that's what's coming up ahead for them. Looking around the league right now, the Cubs lost at home to the Pirates. And, man, what a start to the series for Pittsburgh with their two young stars, Jared Jones and today, Paul Skeens. 6 no-hit innings, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts for Skeens. That's the guy that was advertised. He hit 100 miles an hour on his 100th pitch of the day. He was a freak. Good thing the Brewers did not see him or Jones, as the Pirates have won each of the first two games of that series. We don't care about the standings in May, but I'll read them to you anyway. The Brewers are 26 and 18. The Cubs are 25 and 21. And of course, these two teams meet the next time the Brewers are at home at American Family Field. Elsewhere, games that have already gone final. The Padres trying to claw back to 500. They beat the Braves today by a 3-1 final. That game was in Atlanta, beating Max Fried. They hung 9 hits on the board against the Southpaw. He only struck out 2, while Matt Waldron, the knuckleballer, struck out 10, out-dueling the Braves as San Diego mashed out 13 hits in that game. The Royals continue to roll. They win 6-2 over the Oakland A's today. Old friend Abraham Toro was in left field in that one. The Cardinals beat up on the Red Sox, and a slugfest broke out down at Busch Stadium as Rafi Devers hit a homer for the Red Sox. But for the Cardinals, it was Lars Nootbaar, Alec Burleson, and Mason Wynn all going yard in that one as Kyle Gibson earned the win despite allowing 5 runs against the Sox. And the Cardinals are now 19-25. The Marlins beat up on the Mets. They shut them out, and Jesus Luzardo continues to see the price increase on what a potential trade partner could look for when it comes to Luzardo. This was only his second appearance since coming off of a brief injured list stint with some shoulder issues, but he's A-OK now. 6 shutout innings, had 7 strikeouts. And in case you're wondering, this was tweeted in from Brock up in Sturgeon Bay about deep dive on starting pitchers that will be available, and some people asking, the Brewers got to trade for an ace. Well, there aren't many true bona fide aces that are going to be available, but I think Jesus Luzardo is going to be the most desirable player available at this year's trade deadline, given he'll be in his second year of arbitration next season, meaning he's got 2 full seasons of control, 2025 and 2026, following this season, which means the price is going to be pretty high on him. He is turning 27 in September. He's a Florida native. He was born in Peru. He's somebody that's been traded twice in his career already. He was originally drafted by the Nationals, then was traded by the Nats to the A's, then was traded by the A's to the Marlins, and now he's been a Marlin since 2021. He's certainly on the top of a lot of teams' lists, and the Brewers will probably see him on Wednesday as well in Miami to close out that series. So that's a quick look around the league. We're going to relive the game coming up next with some highlights. The Brewers fall 5-4 to the Astros. Game 1 of a 3-game set at Minute Maid Park. We'll relive it next on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
It's been a minute since the Brewers have been at Minute Maid Park, 2019 to be specific. Astros and Brew Crew opening up a three-game set over the weekend. Hunter Brown for the Stros, Freddie Peralta for the Crew. And Freddie got by with a little help from his friends in the bottom of the first.
1-1 offering. High fly ball out to left. Yelich going back. He's at the track, looks up, and it is off the top of the wall. Tucker on the run. He's around second. He's headed for third. Here's the relay from Adames. And did they get it? They sure did! Oh, wow! What a relay from Adames to Joey Ortiz. Tucker trying to stretch it into three. And the Brewers cut him down at the bag.
Second outfield assist of the year for Christian Yelich. The call from Lane Grindle. And a great, great tag from Joey Ortiz. So that kept the game scoreless after one. It wasn't scoreless for very long. Jake Bowers in the second.
3-1 pitch, high drive, deep right field. Tucker's not even moving. Second deck for Jake Bowers.
And the hot streak continues for the Brewers' first baseman. His fifth home run of the season, and the Brewers on top 1-0.
108 miles an hour off the bat, 412 feet to right field for Bowers. However, the Astros would respond in the bottom of the second with a two-run homer from Jake Myers. So now the Brewers playing catch-up. They had a leadoff double from Joey Ortiz in the third, but left him stranded. Then in the fourth inning, Joey decided, you know what? I'll just do it myself.
The 1-1 coming. Ortiz lifts it deep into right field. Tucker back. Tucker onto the track. He's at the wall. It is gone! Joey Ortiz strikes again, and the Brewers have the lead. It's a two-out, three-run home run. That kid's incredible right now. Brewers have a 4-2 advantage in the fourth.
Josh Mauer's call here on WTMJ. That inning, that was the only hit of the inning, as the other two batters reached via walk with Bowers and Frelick. So the Brewers out in front. Freddie Peralta responding with a shutdown, 1-2-3, bottom of the fourth. But then things got hairy in the fifth. He allowed a leadoff single to Victor Caratini, the eighth spot in the order. He got Loperfido to strike out looking, but now he had the tall task of Jose Altuve in the top of the order. He got ahead of Altuve 0-2, but he hit a little dribbler up the third base line. It would have been a tough play for Ortiz. He didn't handle it. It was going to be a base hit anyway. So now you got men on first and second with one out. Jeremy Peña, who's been one of the best hitters on the Astros all year, 0-2 at this point in the game and on the seventh pitch of the at-bat.
3-2. Curveball hit out towards left. Yelich going back at the track. It is gone. Three-run shot for Peña, and the Astros back out in front. It's 5-4 Houston.
That happened very quickly and very loud, as it usually is in Houston. But hey, plenty of game to go. Freddie was done after five. It's a one-run game. Jared Koenig was the next man out of the bullpen for the Brewers. He allowed a couple of base runners too, but also got some help from his defense.
1-1. Ground ball to short. Adames flips to Terang for one. On to first in time. Koenig rolls up the double play, and the Brewers out of trouble here in the bottom of the sixth.
You would hope that would generate some mojo heading into the seventh inning. In fact, Joey Ortiz would lead off the inning with a single. It would be eight consecutive plate appearances for him to reach base, but he was caught stealing in the seventh inning as the second out. The Brewers would not be able to muster up a rally. In the ninth, not much happening for the Crew, but once again, the defense continued to shine for the Brewers with Jake Bowers.
And the pitch popped up, shallow right. That's going to be trouble. Racing out is Bowers over the shoulder. Sliding catch by Jake Bowers in shallow right field. Incredible play by the Brewers' first baseman.
Incredible indeed from Lane Grindle. But now the Brewers had to face old friend Josh Hader, and you know how that usually goes. He went 1-2-3 with a strikeout of Owen Miller to end it, and the Brewers fall in Game 1 by a 5-4 final. We'll wrap up the program after this, give you the schedule for tomorrow. Enjoy some weekend baseball on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, tomorrow, Game 2, as we've mentioned, Justin Verlander against Bryce Wilson. Some quick injury updates here at the end of the show. We learned Garrett Mitchell is out of his brace today, and he is expected to get a few days off and make sure everything's working without the brace, and then hopefully scheduled to hit batting practice while the team is at Fenway coming up a week from today. So that's certainly Good news from that. Also, D.L. Hall is going on a rehab assignment on Sunday up in Appleton with the Timber Rattlers. So that is good news there. J.B. Bukauskas played catch today. Devin Williams is going to play catch tomorrow, or at least scheduled to. So two key arms for the bullpen working their way back. Tomorrow we're on the air at 5 o'clock. I've got you covered for Brewers warm-up until the bottom of the hour. Then network coverage will take over at 5:35. First pitch is scheduled for 6:10. And then on Sunday, it's just like the Brewers do it, 1:10 first pitch. That means we're on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. Network will take over at 12:35. Brewers going to have their backs against the wall here these next two games, of course, with Verlander tomorrow. They do miss Javier and Blanco. They will face another young arm, this one a rookie, in Spencer Arrighetti on Sunday, as that matchup will have Colin Ray in the finale Sunday afternoon. That's going to do it for me here on the program. I'll be back with you again tomorrow. A reminder to go check out, made a breakdown on all the bat tracking stats on my personal YouTube page, Dom Brewers WTMJ. Go ahead and enjoy that if you want to nerd out with me. I'm still learning a lot about the bat tracking stuff and might have found a flaw with it today that I'm going to get ready to exploit here pretty soon with something I don't like about blasts, and we'll elaborate on that throughout the year, but really excited about some of the new stuff that we're able to learn about the teams. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us here on the program once again tonight, and then also to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 5-4. Back at it tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.